I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Nema Namadamo. She is a human rights organizer and activist for women, and in particular for women with disabilities in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
And Cynthia Jures is here. She is director of the Alliance for the Earth and director of Open Way Sangha here in Santa Fe. Welcome.
Thanks.
And Nema will be speaking on Sunday, the 16th of September at 7 o'clock in a presentation called Congo, Healing for Humanity, along with author Charles Eisenstein at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living right here in Santa Fe. Now, let's talk for a moment about the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is a place that is full of great beauty and great suffering. It's from what I hear and see, a very beautiful country with tremendously rich resources. Tell us what it's like in your country.
Oh, I can say my country is great country, nice country, beautiful country, and rich country. But population live without anything to show them who lives in land. The land is full beauty, richness, and so on. And that it was up me to think about how we can help New Congo, how we can get to up everyone to think about New Congo. And is that my vision I have? Tomorrow, I hope we're going to have New Congo with new understanding, with new story. Because my country, everyone say, oh, is a nation, conflict nation, with conflict mineral, with conflict, everything conflict. But we must think other way to have New Congo.
Now, one of the conflicts in Congo is about the minerals that you have there, which are used in our cell phones and so many of the electronics that people have. And instead of just being mined and being sold, there's tremendous violence that happens. How does the mining relate to the violence?
Oh, you know, when you want something, resource from Congo, like mineral we use in technology, and Congo, we have minerals, no technology. Like Intel, Nokia, Motorola, nothing there. And conflict will come about is somebody use these minerals in a bad way to have position, to keep population slave, to work for them, to sell minerals. It's like a mafia. But mafia, I have in some organization mafia. I don't know how I can give another word to say mafia. And is that people with guns, you can't say, don't get that. And how can talk with them. And we think about that, but I hope it's coming soon to have how we can use our minerals, our resources, and how we can use the minerals we have. It's not only minerals. It's a country full many from riches, minerals, water, forests. I think my country is the second largest forest around the world. Who the forest gives you, or American, European, around the world, oxygen for survive. You can say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm America. But you depend also, you have to care about forest, because he give us life. He give us all around the world good health. Is that I want to talk about these issues. And how we can together to make some change, to have some solution, and to establish peace and solution for New Congo.
She's referring to the richness of this country, Congo. It's the second largest rainforest in the world, providing oxygen, as she said, for all of us to breathe. But it's also the richest country in the world for natural resources like minerals and so much water in Congo that they could actually, if they had hydroelectric there, they could power all of Africa and Europe with the water that flows in Congo.
Good heavens.
Yes. So the minerals that are mined there is fueling an ongoing war that has killed over 5 million people since 1996, when the genocide in Rwanda spilled over into Congo and the rebels hid out in the forest and created many, many militia groups that are now just sort of out of control. And the government of Congo is very dysfunctional. So there's no real law or accountability. And the rebels go into the forest and take control of an area, terrorizing villages, raping women. It's the country where there's the highest incidence of rape in anywhere in the world. So something like 400,000 or 500,000 women a year are brutally raped. And the men are often killed and murdered or taken as slaves to work in the mines. So they take control of land and then they begin to mine it. And, you know, it used to be minerals like gold or silver or copper or things that, diamonds. But nowadays it's what are known as these conflict minerals, these rare earth minerals that, as you said, are the things that power our cell phones and our computers. So the market is very, very high. It's very lucrative. And the whole thing is happening in ways that cannot be tracked. And the money involved is very huge. So this out-of-control violence keeps on going. And the women are the ones who are paying the worst price, along with the environment, really. So that's a little bit about Congo.
The violence that's going on there that we hear through various channels here in our country, and we don't always put it together that the violence there is related to the technology that we're using here. And sometimes, you know, you look at it and you think, is this violence to an end? In other words, the end of greed? Or does it become almost like an illness all of its own? I mean, you wrote this story about you were with your daughter who had a little baby, and she went out to the corner to get something, and a soldier hits her, beats her, for no reason whatsoever. It wasn't even because he wanted something.
Exactly. It's horrible. And you can't imagine how this violence happen in Congo, because it's like you can say every second, every time, every hour you care about. You can't move in your house, and sometimes we don't have electricity. And I sent my daughter to buy some credit to put in my phone. I was wanting to call somebody. After 5 minutes, she beeped me. I call her directly. I said, what is happening? She said, oh, she was crying. I said, what is happening? And they said, oh my gosh, some people beat me. And she was crying. And I was head in my house. One friend who come to visit us. And she go quickly to go to see what is happening there. And after a little time, 2 or 5 minutes, she come with. And I was, oh my gosh, what is happened? And my friend, I can't move quickly to go to see what is happened outside. And my friend went to see, and it was 2 shoulder. It was after drink some beer, alcohol, I think. And he have guns, I don't know, and we can fighting. And he come and say, oh, it's a soldier from somebody I know him, Colonel Chief. And I call directly, I call him, I say, where is these things? Where is it happen? Why soldier beat my daughter? Where you want what? He say, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know that. also thought I can move and doing bad things, and I don't know. And they say, oh, I want to meet you. And after that, I say, he was wondering, and I have confused myself. Because my daughter, she was crying, she finished, and she said, sorry about that, and she come back home. And after that, I say, I go to justice. We don't have justice.
Yeah.
And when you go there, it's only to, you can be ridiculous. And you don't have a force to do that. And if you have much money or power, maybe can turn on you, and you can have to pay something. And I go there, I ask him, and he goes, oh, he gives me big respect, I think. And he say, come, and they say, I want, you're supposed to give us security, to give us, and how you can beat my daughter. And you are brother to my daughter, you are my son, I'm your mother, I'm your mom, how you can do that? And is this man, the coroner, he put those guy in prison for 1 week. We beat him, and I was again go back home, and he said, you can forgive them now. I don't know how I can do if I don't know where. And they say, oh, back again, mom, to tell us. And I was trying to teach, to give them love, peace, and it happened like that. And I went to visit them. Is that is happened?
You went to visit the soldiers who beat your daughter?
Yes.
And what was that like?
It was like, it was wondering in my heart. I was fighting with my thinking, my spirit. And it was sometimes, I can beat with my crutches, or my reaction. I was went there after I write this article.
Yeah.
And they say, my God gives me power. I can be above all those problems and give them forgiveness and love. And now come like friendly, like my son, and he come and what that.
So you actually have made a relationship with them?
Yes, exactly. If we don't make relationship with them, tomorrow he can also look and say, oh, this woman, he do this for us, and some you can move area, place, and he gets you there, and he kill you.
Yeah.
And you try to develop, you pretend nothing bad is happening, but we have those things in our heart, and we try to get those things, because it's devil, you can't, we have to play with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. We're talking to Nema Namadamu, human rights organizer from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I mean, that I think is the most profound kind of peacemaking, is confronting the people who have hurt you. And it's very difficult to do.
Yes, it's very difficult to do. But with something has changed in our mind. We want to change. We want to change this world. We want to change our nation. And how we change, I don't say I change to fighting with them, to have also guns, to fighting, no. I want to change with love and peace, and love he can't felt. Is that I want to change my country, Africa, and world with love, you know, is big. It's hard to do that. And also, I have some spirit who gives me peace, and say, nothing is above love, and also something, you must love your enemy.
Right.
Yes.
I believe that is the Christian ideology, which is often forgotten in a kind of politicized Christianity, but that is really the essence of it. Cynthia, how did you end up in the Congo yourself, in the Democratic Republic of Congo?
Well, I had actually been wanting to go there for some time, although, I mean, I didn't really want to go there, but I knew I had to go there because I have run a program for over 20 years that has to do with global healing. And of all the places in the world that, to me, is kind of a microcosm of the suffering on the planet. Congo embodies that, with the rape of women so extreme, the ongoing violence and genocide, and the way in which it is also carried out in relationship to the earth herself. The raping of the earth through these mining activities and all of that. So I really wanted to go there to bring a practice of healing and protection for the earth that I have carried through my Tibetan Buddhist background, but a practice that has gone way beyond Tibetan Buddhism and is really a sort of non-denominational effort to bring people together in communities to offer prayers and intentions for the healing of the earth in whatever way it's called for in the area that it's called for. So in Congo, we actually ended up partnering with an organization that NEMA is very connected to called World Pulse, which is uplifting women's voices all over the world to train them as journalists and correspondents to tell their stories and to become leaders. And we did media trainings with women in Congo to empower them to become leaders and tell their stories. And we brought video cameras and cell phones with, you know, video capacity over to Congo, and we worked with NEMA. She was amazing to work with. She's an incredible organizer. And we didn't know whether we might be contributing to starting a women's movement for peace and change in Congo when we arrived, but by the time we left, we felt certain that we had definitely done some things to facilitate that. And we also went to the forest where NEMA is from originally, the Itombwe Forest, which is quite far from Bukavu, where we were located primarily and where NEMA lives now. We went to the Itombwe Forest to meet the Pygmy people who used to live in the forest, are now being forced out of their indigenous homeland because of the rebel forces and the mining. But we wanted to make relations with them for the healing of Congo with this practice that is that I referred to. So it was kind of many faceted, but out of that time, we did a lot of filming, we did a lot of interviewing, and we are now producing three short films about Congo and one longer one, we hope. One is called Women Witness Congo, and it's really bringing out the voices and the visions of the women who don't even often get a chance to share their vision, much less share it with the world. And one is a profile about NEMA as a leader. She's a rising leader. She's gotten 150 women already behind her with World Pulse as a vehicle to tell their stories and to begin to organize themselves to stand for change in Congo. So we've got some films coming soon, I hope. We will, I think, show the first little one on the evening of the event with Charles Eisenstein on the 16th. As a way into illustrating some of what NEMA is working on in Congo.
Now, there's a lot of different ways that you're going forward and that it's important to go forward in the Congo, and one of them is, as you've said, working with people who are your enemies and spreading love instead of vengeance and things like that. But then there are also real structural things like having an infrastructure, having an internet, and things like that. What are you doing in terms of the more structural stuff?
Oh, is that exactly you have? It's a good question. And I have vision about how to connect women, how to can have a connection. I have found already a company called Go Network is my vision. And I already get lessons for that, to connect women around the world. And that when I can use this vehicle to connect all women, and you are here in US and other women in Congo, you can know what is going on in Congo. Congo is closed. Somehow, people doesn't know what is going on in Congo. And Congolese also, no hope. You think it's alone, Congolese, but we have many people, many women who stand up about that together. We can find solution about violence against women around the world. Is that vision I have, because we have our resource, we have minerals, no technology, and that we can have a solution. It's not maybe, I'm sure, solution about those minerals. Mm-hmm. People can get job, people can get those minerals, and we can make in the Congo computer, phone,
right.
All those things. Is that my vision I have for Congo. And I think if we are open to world and we talk, we have dialogue between, like you can come in Congo, you sit and you have a dialogue around you from different province, from Congo, from Africa, from America, from Europe. And that is to build peace, to build movement, or women can say, oh, something is happening in Congo, and that I want. That is the first thing is in my vision, to connect Congo, to connect women.
A theme that I think is coming up everywhere, all over the world, is women's leadership. And women's leadership is maybe a different kind of leadership. It's a leadership that hasn't been allowed to go forward. How do you see women's leadership as being different from men's leadership?
Oh, good, great question. You see, men won't position himself. Men, he doesn't have care about other people. But women, we are mother. Every woman, our mother, have a family. He care about children, about husband. And that, through family, we have a notion, we have a global family. And we have one global and one family. And it's women who give life, who give education, who give peace. Is that I want to have this movement to say, oh, we are here. Women everywhere, we are different age, different country, different continents. We are same.
How do you, Cynthia, see this question of women's leadership?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that out, because indeed I feel as if the changes that are called for around the world everywhere need to come from women now, because clearly we've reached the end of our rope. We can't keep going in the same old way. And I think that for change to happen, that there's a way in which women see and feel and act that is going to result in a new direction for all of us that takes into consideration life on Earth in a way that hasn't been considered important by the power structure that we've been operating inside of these last hundreds of years. So it's time for a big change, and we're in the midst of that. And for our survival, for our sustainability, it seems to be time for the women to come forward and to take a stand and to not be quiet anymore, you know. And in Africa, it's really exciting, because you probably are aware of the situation in Liberia, where Alliance for the Earth has also been working. The women stopped the war. There was a terrible civil war that the women were able to finally stop by coming together and praying, and Christian and Muslim women standing together and saying, we've had enough. This doesn't work for us. This has to end. And out of stopping the war, they elected the first woman president of any country in Africa, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. So now Congo is another situation in Africa where the women are suffering horrible abuse, unspeakable abuse, and have very little power or voice. But it is through women like Nema and her friends and colleagues who have really had enough. You know, they have come to the point of, we don't want to live this way anymore. And yet they're not violent, you know. Nema said to me the other day, she said, social networking is really important. Look what happened with Facebook in Egypt. We have to get the internet into Congo so that we can communicate with each other and we can start a movement to end this violence and to get the world's attention. So the men aren't going to do that. The powers that be, the power structure that controls the resources, that controls the media even. I mean, you can look at Congo as a real little mirror of everything in the world, and you can see it all right there. And we, as long as we're sitting back, whether we're in New Mexico or New York or Kinshasa, we're allowing something to continue that is creating nothing but destruction and death. Do we want to continue to live that way? No. So let's get together and let's share our voices and let's stand for something that is life-enhancing. And I think that's where women can be a force for change.
We're talking to Cynthia Jours and Nema Namadamu. Now, having talked about women's leadership, are there men in the Congo, Congolese men, joining with women in this struggle against the violence there?
Yes, absolutely. It's not all men who are against or violent women. No, with some men, we have some authority also who can help us say, no, it must change. And it's not all men. No, we have some.
Also, I mean, when we were there, we met with some of the government leaders from South Kivu province and television people, media people, men who were thrilled that we were there doing what we were doing, these media trainings with women and bringing out women's voices. And they were really happy to hear because they too see that things are stuck. Things aren't going anywhere except downhill very quickly. So they're hoping for something different, but they don't know how. And that's why somebody like Nema is such a visionary. She sees the bigger picture, and she says one of the quotes that's at World Pulse has attributed to Nema is, "I'm not interested in making a little noise. I'm interested in changing the paradigm."
Yes.
Right.
So this is really what the opportunity is, and I think what will be very exciting to talk to Charles Eisenstein about, because he is also writing a lot about the more beautiful world our hearts tell us is possible and the new story. What is this new story? How can we live a really new story that is not about anything to do with the old story? And Congo is a place that could perhaps be where the population could leapfrog over some of the entrenched problems and actually start something very new and different with the women leading the way.
Yes, exactly.
Now, you've worked in politics already to some extent.
I think I'm born politician woman. I don't know. When I'm born, I go to school and I don't want, if I see somebody who is discriminated in society, I must fighting. For example, in my country, people with disability, no access to education, no access to information.
Was that your story? I mean, you have polio. You're here on crutches in the cafe.
Yeah, no, I have polio. It doesn't trouble me now. It doesn't matter to me. I was born like normal children. And 2 years old, I get polio, and I have a chance. I have big mom who loves me. She loves me so much. She gives me love, and she cares about me. I don't get stigma to be women with disability in my life. No, I don't think like that.
And so you were able to have education?
Yes, because my mom, she loves me, and she put out myself stigma. To say I can't have move, I can't have to go to school, but my mom, she fighting for me, and I get this strength, I get energy from my mom, and that I see other people with a disability, no access to education, no access to everything. It's like something. It's not like
An animal.
Yes, animal have value, not like. dog, no like cats, no. Sometimes you must serve them food because it care about you, security is your best friend, but no people with disability in my country. And that it was in me, I fighting every day. I see somebody with disability begging small money, and the people talk bad, red, and full stigma. Say, no, I can't move here, I can't move in house. And people think that you can't get married, you can't get somebody who loves you but me. Those things is not obstacle for me. It's why I do right, human rights, because everyone who is neglected, community, family, and so I fighting for that. And I get to job. I was advised to minister, national minister. I worked with him 5 years. And there, when I was there, I worked with her in Kinshasa, but capital for my country. Many women with a disability was coming to visit me in my office. And people around me was, oh, why? These people with a disability come in a big office like that. It's not habit to have women with a disability in big office.
Yeah.
And they say, I want that. And after a while, we change from advice, a social advice, to technical advice. And it's like to cut myself with these women. And I was walk out office and traveling around the country, out country. And that make me think, we must do some organization, fund organization for non-profits and for women with a disability. Maybe I can try to be with them, to give them strategy together and to fund something. And through those, it's why I'm here. I was in Eugene. I get
20 Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, Eugene, Oregon conference. Put together around the world 26 women. To my USA is Mobility International U.S. Organization, okay. And that we talk about how we include every aspect, development, people with a disability. Is that?
So you've been able to help some of the women in the Congo who have disabilities.
Yes, I work with them, and they have some. I already done some website called www.shakoshi.com. Is the women who saw some.
There's a women's cooperative of women with disabilities who make. They have a sewing cooperative, and they make purses and dresses and things. And she started that as one example of a way to bring support to women with disabilities in Congo.
So you are here visiting Santa Fe and visiting the United States, Nema Namadamu, and you will be speaking on Sunday, the 16th of September at 7 in the evening, Congo Healing for Humanity, along with Charles Eisenstein. Now, maybe Cynthia, you can tell us, we couldn't get Charles on the air, but tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Charles is an author and a visionary himself who has written several books. One is called The Ascent of Humanity, and the other is called Sacred Economics. He is really thinking a lot about the new economy, the new story of life on Earth, the new, more better, beautiful world that our hearts tell us is possible. And Charles is a great voice for articulating many of the concerns that have come up around the Occupy movement and things like that, that many of us are trying to see our way through, you know, that we don't exactly know how to get from here to there. We're still in this old story pretty deeply, but we're trying, and we're seeing that there's some new ways that we need to live our lives. And Charles is very good at articulating that. And so it was actually when I came back from Congo, lying in bed jet-lagged one night when I realized, oh, I should ask Charles to think about Congo with me, because I was struggling with how can we really bring change to Congo? It's so entrenched. People in the NGOs or non-governmental organizations and things that are working in Congo, you ask them, what can we do about bringing change to Congo? And they really throw up their hands and they say, there's no hope. It's completely a lost cause. Really, they think there's no way that change can come to Congo. And yet, when we were there, we met all of these people, men and women together, who were so interested in what we were bringing, so wanting change, so wanting connectivity to the world through the internet that NEMA is trying to bring forth in Congo and things like that, film. And so we asked Charles to start to think about Congo, and he did. And we talked a lot about it, because I thought, if there's anyone that I know who is good at sort of thinking outside the box, it's Charles. So we asked him to come now and to do this dialogue. He wrote an article. He writes many articles. You can find them on charleseisenstein.net or com or something. And also, he writes for Reality Sandwich. So you can read about him there, read his work. But he wrote a piece that appeared in Ode magazine online called The Healing of Congo, out of these conversations that we began to have. And I encourage listeners to read that article and then come to this talk, because I think Charles will help NEMA to frame Congo in a way, frame the situation in Congo in a way that is really relevant to everyone. Congo, we think of Congo as being this impossibly faraway place that has nothing to do with us. But in fact, it has everything to do with us. The resources, not the least of which is our dependency on our computers, wouldn't be possible without the minerals in Congo. But the so many themes are present in Congo that are also present to us, just a little bit more under the surface. So that was a long answer to your question, but that's some of what we're exploring.
Now, you do some work with World Pulse. What is that organization?
It's a big organization around the world. It's an organization who help to build up voice for women around the world. World Pulse is in 109 countries around the world, this organization. And how I met them, I get one friend who gives me address. You can write with this woman. He gives me one name, Jade Frank, and I write for him. I say, oh, hello, how are you, my sister? Oh, I'm fine. And he answers my emails. And after that, he say, oh, I'm interested with you. What's going on in Congo? And I answer her the question he was asking me. And I get them when I was raising money for one association for orphans and widows in my country, my territory, Itombwe. And I get that, and she's professional. She get in this website, World Pulse website, and everyone, I get some funding for to help orphans and the widows in my province. It's that I meet World Pulse. After that, I said, thank you so much, because you helped me to raise money for to help orphans and widows. After that, I said, okay, I can be one future voice of future and I do that. They have
a program called the Voices of the Future, and they train women all over the world from remote parts of the world to write and become correspondents. And that's what you're referring to, right, Nima?
Yes. And that I write also. And when I write my article, when I think, and I have a feedback from everywhere around the world. So, oh, my sister, how are you? Oh, you do good. Great job. And it was give me some energy to write again and again and again, because now I find my sisters around, and I recognize I'm not alone. I'm with somebody. Like, is World Pulse who connected me with Cynthia? Is World Pulse who connected me with this organization, Mayusa? Right. Is World Peace Hodo, that he gives me energy, he connects me, and I have big experience with social media. Is why I'm so happy to be with you today.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the radio. Nema Namadamu is a human rights organizer and activist for women and women with disabilities in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Cynthia Jours is director of the Alliance for the Earth and the director of Open Way Sangha, both here in Santa Fe. And once again, Nema will be speaking on Sunday the 16th of September at 7 o'clock in a talk called Congo Healing for Humanity, along with author Charles Eisenstein. And it's at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living at 505 Camino de los Marques. Thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we've got some time left, and I wanted to bring on the show Ben Swan. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Good to have you back.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Always nice to see you.
So you've got a whole lot of things going on, as always. The animal shelter, one of the busiest places in town. And there is something that we talked about before, and I wanted to get an update on how it's going, which is there's a 100K challenge. That does not mean you have to run 100 kilometers.
No, it's a $100,000 challenge through the ASPCA. And basically, we got in thanks to the generous support of Santa Fe community to really vote us in online on the online voting thing this spring. And so since August, we've been really pushing to trying to get our adoption numbers up. And, you know, we do that every year anyway, but this is an incentive that if we are in the running for $100,000 if we are able to do certain things like adopt 300 more animals in the same time period from August to October as we did last year. You know, we're in the running with 50 other shelters, but it's fun, it's motivational, and everybody loves it. And so right now, so far during this challenge, we've adopted about 300 animals, which is great. And the challenge keeps going through October, so we have these really great special deals and adoption events throughout the community just to encourage people to really make that connection with their pet.
Now, the shelter that adopts out the most number of animals wins?
More or less. That's how it works. There are other ways that we can get money, that we will be able to get grant money from ASPCA. And so one is a Facebook kind of a thing, and others are a pet portrait contest. There's all kinds of ways to make grants. But essentially, we just want to get people to come and adopt an animal, a dog, cat, anything.
Now, you're not lowering your standards.
Of course not. We are lowering our prices.
Yes.
In fact, through October, essentially, we have these coupons all over the community that will allow you to adopt an animal for 50% off, any animal, puppy, kitten, adult dog, adult cat. So our already low prices are even cheaper.
Excellent. So the way people can help is they can come in and adopt the animal of their dreams.
Exactly. And even we try to make it easy for people to find animals. And this weekend at PetSmart, we're going to be part of the PetSmart National Adoption Weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have several animal welfare groups joining us.
What's a national?
Throughout the PetSmarts everywhere in the nation, they're
having this
big push.
So it's not like you can order a dog from Tennessee.
No, unfortunately not. And who would want one, because we have such great ones here.
We do indeed. I stumbled on the one at Petco the other day, and I fell in love.
Love is a fickle thing. You have to really just go for it as soon as
somebody else had already adopted the dog.
That's the thing. It's not fickle,
which
I guess.
Great.
It's just fleeting.
Yeah.
But it
really is long-lasting, too. True love happens sometimes in that first moment, and it lasts for the rest of your life or the dog's life.
There was a quote I recently read that is going to be on our calendar this year that said, sometimes you only need an hour to understand this love that you have. At any rate, the National Adoption Event is this weekend at PetSmart, and it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There'll be big tents there just to promote the event.
Now, which one is PetSmart?
On Zafferano.
On Zafferano, sort of across
the
street
Starbucks.
From Target.
Yeah,
so
get your Starbucks coffee, go get a dog or a cat, and then go home. You're good for the weekend.
Right, but don't caffeinate your new animal.
No, they don't like caffeine. So, and we also have, I just encourage people to go to our website to look at the great adoption specials that we have and also animals that we have. And there was something else I wanted to talk about this weekend, Friday.
Yes, very important.
We have this really cool talk by Luke Robinson. He founded 2 Million Dogs. Essentially, his dog died of cancer several years ago, and he just made a commitment to raise cancer awareness about canines. And he went on this 2,000-mile walk with two dogs. And now he sponsors these pet walks everywhere to raise awareness about cancer.
2,000 miles.
I think that's what it was.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know a lot of dogs who would be like, okay, sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. Mine every morning, right when I'm drinking coffee and wanting to, anyway, reading the newspaper.
But what's the 2 million dogs about?
The 2 million dogs is just his pet walks and his puppy up pet walks. There's going to be one in Rio Rancho.
Okay, so it's not like 2 million dogs die of cancer or something like that.
No. It's just about getting people the word out and really, you know, the thing about cancers in dogs and humans, they're very similar. And a lot of the research they do, the oncology research, really helps to promote or to raise the trials really help to make inroads in treating human cancers. It's not animal testing or anything like that. It's oncology research. It's taking these studies about what works with dogs and helping humans do the same thing or use the same kind of medicines and stuff.
There are the same, really very similar or identical chemicals that they and treatments
exactly.
that they use.
The chemotherapy that they use is very similar.
Yeah.
And Dr. Kelly with the Veterinary Cancer Care Center will be there. And we also have, I asked Willa Peterson to go. She's with Kindred Spirits. And there'll be our own Jennifer Steckety with a shelter veterinarian there. So it'll be a roundtable discussion. It's at a private residence, so seating is limited. So if I just encourage people, if they're really interested, to call 983-4309 extension 202.
983-4309, which is the animal shelter number, extension
202.
202, which is you.
No, that's AJ, else. And she's been taking people's names, and
okay.
we have a limited seating, so we wanted to, that way we can RSVP, and they give them directions to this house. If they could do it by tomorrow, that would be great. The talk is Friday
okay.
from 5 to 7.
And can you just tell us a little bit about Haley and Willow?
Oh, I love Haley. And I put Haley on the Facebook page, and there was so much response. Look at that puppy. Maybe you could read him.
Oh, my goodness.
Him.
Haley is a brown and red dog, Labrador Retriever, Australian cattle dog mix, and this is what we call a freckle-faced dog.
Freckle-faced.
And maybe about 4 years old, not really sure, and a lovely dog. 73 pounds, that's a big dog.
That's a big dog. Yeah, that reminds me of my boy Jimmy, who always crowds my pillow in the morning.
Yeah,
so
do not put the Ming vase on your coffee
no.
table.
The tail wagging is very dangerous. And then I wanted to tell you about Willow. Willow's a brown tabby and white, and she's just a sweet girl.
That's
she's a little
kitty.
Bit older, 9 years old.
Oh, okay.
So she really can make your home complete.
Right. Wonderful dogs. And so these are all for adoption at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. And want to make sure that people know that the Barkin' Ball is coming up.
That's
when
right.
Is that?
October 6th at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. This year is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, every year it's fun. But this year we decided to kind of just make it more interactive. There's going to be games. It's live music. There's obviously a happy hour. It's going to be like a state fair kind of a sense.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And
interactive. The dogs will play fetch with each other.
They can if they want.
It's the only fundraiser in Santa Fe where you can bring your animal.
Yeah, that's true.
Your dog.
Yeah. And we have a little area for them, a little break area and things like that. And it's an old-time country fair theme. It's a lot of fun. And this year we've got some special guests and a general store instead of we will have a silent auction, but we also have a general store that people can just go in and buy these wonderful donated items.
Excellent. So and there's always like a... It's almost like a fashion parade.
The pet parade is very popular
yeah.
every year. It gets a little longer.
Not to be confused with the Fiesta pet parade.
Yeah, which was fun. Did you go?
No.
Oh.
I just sleep.
I was there really early, bright and early. A lot of animals. I didn't see many cats. A lot of dogs.
Yeah.
Some iguanas, some snakes, some birds. A lot of birds. So it was just a fun
And day. In yours, you have animals that are up for adoption marching through?
Yes, we did. We had some great ones. And you know what I love about that parade and I love about Santa Fe in general is that there's so many people who have their animals and they love their animals. And in that parade, there's so many smiles on everyone's faces because they're so proud of their animals. And that kind of bond is just immeasurable.
Ben Swan is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.